Welcome to Christians Community Center of Los Angeles, or as we love to call it, 3CLA, the Church for Truth Seekers. I am Pastor Tom Washington, and it is a blessing to be given the opportunity to share the word of truth with you. Our prayer is that you take that truth and apply it to your life with power and authority. For more information about 3CLA and other teaching opportunities, please visit us at our website, 3CLA.org. We also encourage you to do as 2 Timothy 2:15 states, you must study to show yourself approved unto God, Yahweh, a workman needing not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Shalom. How many of you know that He is the great I am? He is the great I am. Hallelujah. It is a blessing to be sharing with you this morning, not just those who are tuning in on iChurch, but also those that are here in the sanctuary. We thank you for being with us this morning. And we thank those on iChurch that is going out in English and Spanish this morning. If this ministry has been a blessing to you, please let us know. We've been talking about spiritual architecture and design for life. The beauty of the culmination of what we've been talking about and the appointed times that Yahweh has ordained are in total synchronization. What are you talking about, Pastor Tom? Well, we just commemorated the Hebrew New Year, which is called Rosh Hashanah, for many of you that know that, but it's also called Yom Teruah, the Feast of Trumpets. And in that time, we've been preparing ourselves, we've been preparing our hearts, we've been examining ourselves, right? And every year they would do this, the Jews would do this, the Yehudims, who are the Jews, and that's the Hebrew name, they would do this, they would commemorate this coming of the new year, this Yom Teruah, and what it was a time for them to take inventory. If it was a time for something to be torn down, they tore it down. If it was a time for something to be built up, they built it up. And so I'm thankful that in that moment that we commemorate it, at the same time we've been talking about building on the sure foundation. How many of you know that you're building on a sure foundation? And so when I look at the world, I mean, you would think that the world was ending Saturday, just all of the chaos that's going on. All of the rumors of wars and the different natural disasters and earthquakes. And it's interesting, last week I was talking about earthquakes, and I believe we had an earthquake here in Southern California, too, after Mexico. And Mexico had two. And you know, we live in California. So they say that we're due for a big one. But the word said that there would be earthquakes in diverse places, different places. This is the thing. Used to be that most earthquakes were in California. We were like the earthquake capital. People would say, oh, I don't want to live in California because of earthquakes. I'm like, dude, well, you live in hurricane and tornado country. You know, I think that those are kind of bad, too. But now we're seeing earthquakes everywhere. Faults are being created, which makes the word totally true. I knew it was true anyway, but it just shows the validation of what Yahweh is doing. And so I don't know about you, but this whole time, Yom Teruah not only meant get yourself together, but it meant sound the alarm. It means that he's soon to return. And every time, every year that you commemorate Yom Teruah, it's a dress rehearsal for the real deal. You blow that trumpet, the shofar, on Yom Teruah, but one day, the real shofar is going to blow in heaven. And when that blows, Yeshua is coming back with a trump. And if you weren't ready, guess what? You're left behind. And a lot of churches aren't teaching that. They're trying to prepare you for stuff down here. Oh, yes, I'm going to prepare you for your next job, and I'm preparing you for this, that, that. You need to be prepared for your next life. You need to be prepared for what's to come, what? After this. Because tell your neighbor, he's soon to return. So what we got to do is get ourselves together. And I don't know about you, but I got to get it together. I got to get it together. Tell your neighbor, we got to get it together. We got to get it together. So we've been talking about building. Go here really quickly to Nehemiah 2:17, Nehemiah, which is our wellspring scripture. I'm not going to hold you long today, but I am going to get some stuff out that's got to get out. We're going to build and we're going to rebuild. And this was kind of the nexus of what we were talking about. So go to Nehemiah, the second chapter, the 17th verse. Then I said unto them, you see the distress that we are in? How Jerusalem or Jerusalem is lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. So these are the children of Israel, and they were God's chosen people, still are his chosen people, but taken through all of these different things because of their disobedience. And so what he did was delivered them back to their country. And in going back to their country, everything was destroyed. The wall that protected them was destroyed. The temple was destroyed. So they had to build that temple up. And if your life was in shambles, it was a stain on you. You were kind of in a situation where you were, give me a word. Do you feel happy about it? If your life is in shambles? No. Depressed state, but shame. Because you're his chosen people. And your stuff is raggedy? You're his children. He's given you all power and dominion and all that. And your wall is messed up? You have his very power in your favor. And look at you. You dishonor your God when your stuff is raggedy. Because you say, oh, my God can do anything, and my God did this and that. But then your car is on the tow, about to get repossessed. Your mind is twisted. You living in, let's put it this way, you're living under what his promises are for you. So how can I be a child of Yahweh and my stuff is messed up? Well, this is speaking to us. Who's anybody a child of the Most High God? Can I tell you a little something? As a child of the Most High God, your stuff should be on point. Every aspect of your life should be victory. Everything that you put your hands to should be prospering. Hallelujah. He said he made you the head and not the tail. He said he made you above and not beneath. He said he made you more than a conqueror. Do I have any more than conquerors? Well, if that's the case, why is your wall down? Why is your life lying in waste? Why are your gates burned? Tell your neighbor, all is not lost. He said, come and let us build up. Let's rebuild it. I know your stuff is raggedy, but I'm the God that can make your stuff exactly the way it's supposed to be. I'll take you up. So he said, come on. Let us build up the wall of Jerusalem that we be no more in reproach. And then skip over two chapters to the fourth chapter of Nehemiah. So the process begins, right? So we build stuff. And so, or in this case, rebuild. And the sixth verse says, so built we the wall. And all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind. You got to have a mind. And you want to know what kind of mind you need to have? It's called a made-up mind. You got to have your mind made up. You got to have a mind that says, I want to be better. I want to be higher. I want all the promises, not just a couple of crumbs. I want all the promises of Yahweh. Because, you know, you can get a crumb. Remember? With the woman that got the crumb? He said, well, you're not entitled to this because, you know, this is for the children. And she said, I know, but even dogs get the crumbs that fall from the master's table. You serve a God that even his crumbs are good. But do you just want his crumbs? Or do you want the whole loaf of bread? Come on, he promised you the whole loaf. So, why are we living beneath his excellence? You can have it, but you have to have a made-up mind. And it says the people had a mind to what? Tell your neighbor, it takes work. Listen, you think that just because we get saved, now we can skip through the tulips? Right? We just singing in the rain? You got to what? Tell your neighbor, we got to put our hands on something. We got to move stuff. We got to believe Yahweh in prayer for things. We got to stand. We got to be strong. We got to work this thing out. And so that's what he was saying. So the people had a mind to work. So the last few weeks I've been talking about different aspects of building because there's so much at stake. I want to talk about something that's just slightly, it's right there together with what we're talking about. Because with the time that I have left, we talked in 2 Corinthians about how there's going to be inspections. 1 Corinthians, there's going to be inspections. Let's read that real quick. Go to the Message version. And I showed you the Message version of 1 Corinthians, the third chapter, because it was very clear in what it was saying. And if you don't have a Message version Bible, I like the Message version because the Message version, I use the King James, but the Message version kind of makes it in simple English and not all the thuses and nows and all that, which, you know, the Bible was not written in thus and thou and all that. It was written in Hebrew and Greek. But the translators were Old English. And what they did was they kind of used their vernacular. So this is what he's talking about building. He says, another way to put it another way, you are God's house. Using the gift Yahweh gave me as a good architect, I design blueprints. Apollos is putting up the walls. So let each carpenter, tell your neighbor, we're carpenters. What are you building? You're building your life. Listen, I can't build your life. You have to build your own life. And so each of you have to be good carpenters, right? And so it says, let each carpenter who comes on the job take care to build on the foundation. Remember, there is only what? One foundation, one already laid, Yeshua Messiah. So what you're doing is you're building your house on Yeshua. You're building your house on his promises. And then the next verse says what? Take particular care in picking out your building materials. Eventually, there's going to be an inspection. Eventually, there is going to be an inspection. If you use cheap or inferior materials, you will be found out. Some of us are taking our salvation and we're using inferior stuff. Some of us are not even using Yeshua as the foundation, his principles. We're using gold. We're building it on money. We're building it on precious stone. Somebody said, well, platinum seems like a good foundation. Well, guess what? You put fire to platinum, it's going to melt. So he says, don't use inferior materials. You'll be found out. Why? The inspection will be thorough and it will be rigorous. And you won't get by with a thing. If your work passes inspection, fine. If it doesn't, your part of the building will be torn out. And what? Start it over. You won't be torn out. You'll survive, but just barely. Wow. So what does that mean? We have to watch how we're building this thing. Say, I have to watch how I'm building this. Everything that you do, every decision that you make is going to be important for building on the right foundation. And so knowing this, when you build, you have space in the wall, right? You have empty places. You have voids. So what do? When you want to build a house properly and you want to make sure it's warm, what do? What do you put in the walls and the voids? Why not put paper? Inferior. Wood chips. So it makes a difference what you stick in the voids. What about the other empty spaces? Furniture and carpet and all these things. All the things that you fill that house with have to be the right things. You can't have stuff that's going to catch fire easily. You want fire what? Retarded. Because it's going to be tried. Go to Genesis, the first chapter. And it says this. Yahweh is a God who builds. And I need you to get this morning. Because I need you to meditate on this throughout the week. Yahweh is a God who builds. Say it. Yahweh is a God who creates. He wants you to build. He wants you to create. And here it says, in the beginning, Yahweh what? Created the heavens and earth. Why did Yahweh create the heavens and the earth? Because they were what? Void. What does void mean? They were empty. So he had to what? Fill it up. He had to put stuff in there. Had to put the right things in there. Had to make sure that they synchronized and worked together with each other. Because it was void. Yahweh don't like void. He wants things to be what? Filled. You better follow me. Because there are going to be voids. But the question is, how will you fill them? So, I have a unique perspective. I used to be a scientist. I have a biochemistry degree. I worked in chemistry for 15 years. I don't do it anymore, but I got an interesting perspective because I was able to see proof in science how real our God was. I could see how perfectly and patterned things were. Those perfect patterns that we see in science don't come from chaos and a big bang. They don't just happen. They're intelligently created. When you see how things work and operate and you see the laws of science work, you see how our God is a detail-oriented God. Everything that he created had a purpose. So I took some crazy classes. I took physical chemistry. And physical chemistry is like physics and like chemistry mixed up together. It's crazy. I was going to lose my mind trying to finish that class. Seriously, because it was so intricate, calculations and filling spaces and all this thing. But I found out that in this class, there was called a law of vacuum. And the law of vacuum was this, that any void that is created, all the material forces of the universe hate that is a void there. And so when a vacuum is created, things rush in to fill it. So when a vacuum is created in the space, mass moves in to try to fill it. That's a law. Tell your neighbor, that's a law. Then I find out spiritually that Yahweh fills voids. He's drawn to the empty places. And his desire is to take those empty spaces and fill them. So if he is a God that does that, and he created us, what does that mean? Go to Psalms, Tehillim, the 42nd chapter in the 7th verse. You need to get this. The universe, the law of vacuum says the universe abhors. The universe hates voids. This is a law that's not even religious. It's scientific. And scientifically, the law of vacuum says that the universe hates voids, so rushes in to fill them. Fill them with mass. Fill them with what's there. And Psalms 42:7 says this. And I saw this when I was, again. When you get the Holy Spirit, Yahweh puts a yearning for his deep things in you. It's his spirit. So if it's his spirit, the same spirit that created the universe, the same spirit where he designed all of the things to rush to fill voids because he doesn't like empty spaces, then there's that same mechanism inside of you. Yeah.
So in this scripture, he's saying deep. Calls unto deep. Meaning the deepness that you put in me yearns and calls out to you to send your deep things to fill my voice. It's calling. Because he doesn't want the voids. And it says, the deep calls on the deep at the noise of your water spouts, Yahweh. See, there's some places that I can get stuff, but my deepness calls out for your water, your things, and your waves and your billows are gone. That's the only thing that can satisfy. Problem with mankind is that y'all got voids, and the deepness of the Holy Spirit is saying, fill it with the right stuff. Fill it with the spiritual stuff. Fill it with the things of me. But you go and you try to fill it with the stuff of this world. The world's filling stuff is inferior. It's inferior. You can never be filled by the world stuff. You gotta be filled by his things. I know you yearning. You're yearning because you got the voids. I get it. I understand. But you better watch out. You better watch what you allow to fill those voids. First Corinthians, second chapter. Your billows have gone over. Your billows, not the world's billows. First Corinthians, second chapter, 10th verse. But I don't understand the deep thing. But I got to tell y'all this, though. Ooh, it blew my mind. So I looked up the deep that's used in the Old Testament, find the Hebrew word for deep. Do you know what the Hebrew word for deep is? T-H-O-M. I'm not joking. Look it up. The Hebrew word for deep is T-H-O-M. So guess what? You got a dude that's desiring the deep things of Yahweh. And his name means deep. It ain't about me. I didn't name myself. Look it up in your Strong's. But anyway, the deep stuff, I don't know. I can't handle it. You know, I can't wrap my mind around it. I don't understand it. So let me fill it with stuff that I understand. Let me fill it with stuff that I can touch and feel that make me feel good. But your spirit ain't yearning for that mess. So it says here, but Yahweh hath revealed what? The deep stuff. If you just let him penetrate your mind, he'll let you understand the things of him. He says why? He's revealed them to us by his spirit, his Ruach HaKodesh. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things. So the Spirit is like grabbing the deep stuff of Yahweh and bringing it to you. And then you're like, oh, I don't understand. And you reject it. But while that deep stuff is coming, you say, Yahweh, increase my understanding. I might not understand it, but I receive it. And when you let that happen, then he starts filling you with the right stuff. And guess what? His deepness, only he can feel. Only he can do it. How do I know this? Oh, Lord. So this is what I need you to get. When you tear down, when you come to Yahweh, or when you've been saved and you allow mess to fill you up, he's saying it has to be torn out. You got to tear it down. And you got to rebuild. And to rebuild, after you rebuild, you got to refill. Are you following me? See, you came to Yahweh because you were filled with so much mess. You couldn't get anything else in there, and you were sick and tired of being sick and tired. And he said to you, he said, okay, come on to me. And then old things, all the old fillers will be passed away. Behold, all things will become new. But see, what you do, it says old things are passed away. Not old things are passed by. See, there's a difference. See, what happens is that when you get rid of old stuff, right? You're going to sit it out there and you're going to leave it out there. I'm going to pass. Old things have passed by. I'll just... left that there. But see, what happens is that means that you can go back and get that mess. But passed away means they dead. Come on. You got to kill it. You got to act like it's what? It's dead. You don't bring no dead stuff up. You don't bring no dead stuff up. And we got too many of y'all going back and resurrecting dead stuff. Old things have died. Behold, all things are become new. And guess what? Your refilling and your refreshing is brand new. It's from Yahweh. It's the right feel. So understanding that, let me take you to John 4th chapter. You better get this. Tired of the old stuff. We got to let the new stuff take root. We got to allow that refilling, refreshing to take place. So John, the 4th chapter. Oh, come on. I'm almost done, but I had to just let this, I had to let this out. John, the 4th chapter, 11th verse. So the woman at the well, she thought she had stuff figured out. And Yeshua was not even really supposed to be in the law, was supposed to be engaging her. But he was trying to show her something, because even at the well, she was trying to push up. And the story goes that she had how many men? Five, and then she was living with another dude. So the woman at the well was trying to fill the void. Emotionally, I'm looking for love. I'm looking for someone to give me what I need. So even though she was living with dude, she's at the well pushing up on Yeshua. So he was telling her about the dynamic. Hey, I got living water. But this part right here blew me away. The woman said unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with. Because he was telling her about living water. He was telling her about stuff that she couldn't understand. It was too deep for her. So she said here, she said, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with. I'm looking at you. You ain't got nothing. And the well is deep. So if the well is deep and you ain't got nothing to draw from whence then are you going to draw living water? You telling me about some deep stuff. Where is it coming from? Because I don't see that you got nothing deep. And I'm looking at this well, and this well is deep. So how are you going to draw out the things that you're talking about? She says, are you greater than our father Jacob, Yaakov, who gave us the well? And he drank the same well there of himself and his children and his cattle. And Yeshua answered and said unto her, whosoever drinks my water, this water right here. See, whoever is trying to drink from your well of this water, they're going to thirst again. You see what he did? He was like, yeah, you talking about this well is deep. You ain't seen deep yet. See, you can draw all the water you want all day long out of this. But you take some of this and you still going to be thirsty. You trying to fill your void. You had five men. You got a sixth man that you with, but you still thirsty. Or did you get that? You still thirsty. And the young people know what I'm talking about. When you out there going in the world trying to find people, you thirsty. People of the world are thirsty because what they do is they go out there and try to find all kind of worldly stuff to fill that deep well. But the only thing that can satisfy, the only thing that can satisfy is the living water from the Most High God. That's it. That's it. That's it. That's it. You can have six men. You can have 60 men. Brothers, you can have 10 women. You can have 100 women. Who was a basketball player? Wilt Chamberlain said he had 4,000. And he was still thirsty and died in his thirst. But I'm talking about living water. I'm talking about you take this, you ain't never going to be thirsty again. Hallelujah. Everlasting life. Because this is the thing. Yeshua said, I know you got voids. I know you thirst. And you don't know what to fill it with. And I'm trying to give you the knowledge. I'm trying to give you the wisdom. I'm trying to give you the understanding to know what to fill it with. But God, I'm thirsty. He says, I know. But the 13th verse, he says, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give shall be in a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And the woman said, hey, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither hither will I come here to draw. If you give me the right stuff, I ain't gonna come and draw from the wrong stuff. Give me the right stuff, and you won't find me here no more. Does anybody want the right stuff? I said, does anybody want the right stuff? My God. I want the right stuff. I want the right stuff. And then here, I gotta give you this last thing. Because you might say, I don't know. I don't know. Go to Jeremiah, the second chapter, the 13th verse. And I have to release this today. Jeremiah, the second chapter. So he says, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and have hewed out their own cisterns. That means that they've forgotten that I'm the living water, and they've created their own pitchers. They've created their own vessels, and they're broken. And their broken vessels cannot hold the water that is the living water. Their broken vessels can only hold broken water. Their broken vessels can only hold dirty water. You cannot craft and make your own vessel. You have to let Yahweh mold your vessel, shape your vessel, fill your cracks. He creates the vessel. And if you let him create the vessel ain't got no cracks. The vessel ain't got no voids. The vessel doesn't have no imperfections, and the vessel can hold the living water that flows from up above. And the last thing I'm going to give you is the 63rd Psalm. And the 63rd Psalm says this. What is the right stuff? Okay, my vessel's broken. Okay, I'm not filling it with the right stuff. What is the right? Psalm 63:1 says, oh God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for you. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. Hallelujah. But he's got the living water. I thirst for the living water. That's where my thirst is filled. My thirst is quenched from the living water. And he says, to see thy power. You gotta have a mind to feel. You have to have a mind to build. You have to have a mind to want the right things of Yahweh. And so he says, to see thy power and thy glory. So as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. I seen you right here. I seen you move. I seen you speak. I know you can deliver. I seen you heal. It's right here. It's right here in your sanctuary, in your presence. I've been looking all over, but it's right in your presence. Because thy loving kindness, I found out that it's better than life. So my lips will praise thee. Thus God bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied. My soul shall be satisfied. As with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed, and I meditate on thee in the night watch, because thou hast been my help. Rejoice. My soul followeth hard after thee. My soul followeth hard after thee. My soul followeth hard after thee. Altar. You let the living water. His is living water. The voice that only He can fill. He can only do it. He can only fill it. He can only do it. He can only fill it. To Him right now. Let Him know. Cry out. You're all I need. You uphold me with Your right hand. You're my help. I meditate on Thee. Refreshes it. Hallelujah. Yay. Hallelujah. Let Him do it. Let Him do it. Let Him do it. Let Him do it. Hey, hey, that's it, that's it. Pray right here. We're gonna pray right here. Hey, Shandara. Oh, the Shandara. Yeah, the Shandara. Yeah, the Shandara. We come to You right now in the mighty name of Yeshua HaMashiach. Oh, the name. Oh, Your name. Oh, the name that we long for. The name that we lift up. Hallelujah. The name above all names. You've saved us. Hallelujah. You've delivered us, Father. You've rescued us right now. So right now, hey, right here, in the mighty name of Yeshua HaMashiach, we thank You, Yahweh, that only You can fill the empty spaces. Only You can fill the cracks. Only You can provide the living water. So right now, in the mighty name of Yeshua, for these vessels here, Father Yahweh, right now, Father, in the mighty name of Yeshua, make them whole. Refresh them right now, Father. Yeah, Your Son, we receive Your refreshing. Hey, Your Son, hey. So we thank You, Father, that You make us whole. You repair. You replace. You give us love unconditional.